Amherst Eclectic, and today I am doing a podcast about whether the thoughts or feelings you have about someone is love, like, a crush, or obsession. And I think sometimes those lines get crossed. I think sometimes a crush can be sort of obsessive, because if you're not taking a step towards somebody to establish a relationship, then you're kind of obsessing about that person, right? It's at a distance, it's safe, you're making things up in your own head. You know, you're sort of creating a relationship that's not there. And I think a lot of people do that, particularly nowadays that we have social media and you get to actually look at people's pages and the public things that they post. You may not see everything that they post. They may keep certain things private, but you see the public things that they post and you don't know everything about them, but yet you create this. People tend to create this thought in their minds that they know somebody because they can see their social media pages. And if they follow all their social media pages, etc., they tend to think that they know someone. And what I always caution people about, even when they're commenting on other people's pages, is, listen, you know, especially like men and women who are commenting on attractive people, you know, attractive people's pages, and someone has a picture being taken of them, and it's not them taking the picture, I always say, listen, someone's taking that picture of that person, this attractive person, there's somebody with them, and 9 times out of 10, it's gonna be their boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, or wife, right? So I think that's something that people have to remember is, you know, if someone is attractive, if they're in shape, if they're, you know, have any good qualities at all, they're probably seeing somebody. If you're attracted to them, then they're probably already taken. But I think a lot of people get online and they think that these people aren't, because they're hiding that, because they're trying to get more likes, more shares, more followers, because they know that if they make it public that they're with somebody, that there's a ton of people that would just stop liking them, would stop following them, because that's the allure of being followed, that's the allure of these influencers. And it's the same thing that happens with celebrities and music stars. They hide their relationships, and people are like, oh, they're trying to be private and keep it to themselves. No. They're keeping it from you because they will have less people buy their records, go to their movies, participate in the things that they want people to do to make them money if you think that they're with somebody else. If you think that they're married or they're dating or they're taken. You know, sex sells, unfortunately. And a lot of people, when they follow these people, are hoping that it can be them that's in the relationship with them. So I think nowadays with social media even bringing you closer and making people think they know people because, well, I'm following them or I'm a friend with them on their page or whatever. Even that's just kind of a disillusionment there. If somebody lets you be their friend on their page, that doesn't mean that you're in a relationship with them. That just means that they're letting you be friends with them on a social media page where they're probably not posting everything, or they have you on a separate list than they have their close friends. I mean, I have people on my page that are friends with me, but they're acquaintances or they're people that I've never met before. I have them all in different categories. I have my close friends who can see things that happen in my private life. And then I just have public posts that I make for people that I'm, you know, they seem like really nice people, but I don't really know them. So you don't want to take that chance of them finding out things about you. And until I meet someone and spend time with them and get to know them, I'm not going to release personal information for those people to know about me, because there's just a lot of crazy people online. So I got a Psychology Today article, and that's what it was. The title was, Am I Obsessed or Am I in Love? How to Cope with Obsessive Thoughts in Romantic Situations. And I thought, well, this is a good sort of touch base to maybe talk about this, to kind of springboard off of this. It starts out, I can't stop thinking about her. I want to know everything about him. Time stops when I'm with her. I don't think he knows how much I care about him. If you hear these sentences, would you think about love or obsession? Sometimes separating the two can be quite an endeavor. Having feelings for someone we don't know very well can border on an insane obsession we cultivate to that person or for that person, and an unhealthy projections we attribute to them. So that's what I was saying. You're projecting your ideas onto that person. You know, sort of like a projector puts a movie up on the wall, you are taking your views and your thoughts and you're projecting them onto that person or into that person to make you feel like you're close to them, right? An obsessive or on obsession or being under siege. In general, obsession is quite an unhealthy state of mind, if it becomes even more dangerous when obsession gets confused with romantic feelings somewhat resembling love. But obsession is a state of mind that tries to tell us something important about ourselves to improve the quality of our lives. So I've been witnessing, one of the reasons I wanted to do this is I've had this happen to me online. I've had this happen in real life. You know, people think they're in love with me and I don't even want to date them at all. You know, or, you know, because people, you know, they attribute things to you. Like, it might be you remind them of their sister or their mother or an ex-girlfriend or what, or an ex-wife or whatever. And so then they take what they have in these other people in their real lives and they project that onto you as you being just like those people who gave them attention, love, whatever. But I've had that happen to me. I think I've talked about this in past podcasts about how I've been stalked and I've had to bring the police into it. And I've had to call the police in other cities from where these people are from who are stalking me. And I've had to bring in two city police agencies together to make it stop. So it can get out of hand. I mean, I'm sure that at some level, these people are really nice people, but they have a little bit of an imbalance. Maybe it was something that happened in their childhood. Maybe it's something that's happened in another relationship that has kind of taken their mental stability off kilter a little bit. And, you know, you have to be understanding about that, but you also have to set boundaries for yourself. Because if that person is bordering on being dangerous, or they have so much wrapped up in you that, you know, if they you get to a certain point in that obsession and that mental instability, that if you cut them out of your lives, that they're going to go completely bonkers. I mean, we just saw an article about a social media influencer. I think she does financial stuff. And this guy was contacting her online and I guess got a little bit personal and even figured out where she lived. And I guess he got so obsessed with her that he thought that she was interested in him when really that wasn't it. She was just being nice. And she's married, right? So he ends up finding out where she lives and he kills her and kills her husband. I think that's what happened. I think he killed both of them. So, you know, that was the fine line she shouldn't have crossed. She shouldn't have crossed this line of getting in a personal relationship with this person, making him think that there was something more there that wasn't, because he was probably already grasping for those straws. And I've also seen people who are, you know, they're fans of somebody and they create a page about them. That's real obsession. Without the other person's permission, they start a fan page and then they start posting all this crazy stuff about how they love this person and They make statements that this is my girlfriend or my boyfriend or whatever, when they've never really ever met that person. It's just a celebrity or somebody that they've become obsessed with, right? And social media is making, quote unquote, more celebrities that never would have been before, right? Because, people get obsessed with somebody online now rather than a movie star that's too far out of their reach, right? They try to come down to something that might be more in their reach, that they think might be more in their reach. Okay. But obsession is a state of mind that tries to tell us something important about ourselves to improve the quality of our lives. That's where we left off. Irvin Yalom once wrote, "Love obsession often serves as a distraction, keeping the individual's gaze from more painful thoughts." That's a really good point. Sometimes people try to find in you what they can't find in their lives. If their life is out of control, then they want to control you, right? And so if they can control you and make you love them, then the rest of their out of control life they can forget about, right? Because, or at least they can control this. And that's what happens in domestic violence situations and abusive situations. Okay. Obsession is a distraction, a very dangerous and consuming one. It keeps us from a true intimate connection with ourselves. In other words, to be alone with yourself and really get to know yourself and be okay with being alone, right? Liking yourself the way you are and being able to spend time with yourself alone and be okay with that. When people get to that point, then they're not so desperate to be in relationships because they know they can be alone. Okay. That is, if you start obsessing about someone, this person is the least of your problems. It's very likely, in fact, that this person does not even feel or cared for or cares for themselves. Or they may not feel cared for by you, the person they're obsessed with, right? Obsession is putting you under siege. In fact, the word obsession comes from the Latin obscient or obsedere, which means to be occupied and almost invaded by something that does not belong to you. In fact, the person you may be obsessing about is often a stranger, a long-distance friend, a coworker, someone you met only a few times. It is someone you do not know well. The fact that you do not know this person very well allows the obsession to thrive. Thanks to the lack of reality checks, your mind will run wild in projections on the life of this person. You will build possible scenarios about your next encounter with them. Any action or reaction from that person will make your heart beat as never before. You are alive, but under siege. You are alive because you are under siege. Suddenly, your mind will be busied with intruding thoughts that do not fully belong to you, but keep you busy. Keeping you busy is the hidden agenda of any obsession. Obsessions are there to displace your attention and care about what truly matters in your life. But watch out, the glimpses of joy you allowed yourself to feel when humoring the obsession are often just an illusion. What seems to bring promises of joy and happiness will be the carrier of a loss of sleep and a ton of anxiety. How can you know if you are in love or if you are just obsessed? You can decide to allow yourself some time to answer this question. If the person you are feeling so much about is the right person for you, the decision about what to do with these important feelings can wait some time. Before making big decisions, you can allow yourself to take some distance and check with yourself if there is something missing in your life that justifies the obsessive feelings. Often, the difference between obsession and healthy, loving feelings is marked out by a natural, spontaneous, and anxiety-free growth. When prey to obsession, you are getting close to the person you feel obsessed about with a ton of anxiety, double guessing, and looping thoughts. So you're constantly like, that's what they call looping thoughts, is that's obsession. You're constantly thinking about that person, right? So it might be that you feel attracted to this person and feel slightly insecure about him or her. With a closer look, you might realize that you do not know much about this person. You might see that you did not spend so much time with him or her. You do not actually know how she or he is in the world. And trust me, you would probably be disappointed. This is me. If you thought, you know, I've met people long distance, like on social media, or you've gone to a dating site or whatever, and then you meet them in person, and just in the first few minutes, you're like, oh my God, now I know why this person can't find anybody to date. They're crazy, or they're not fun people, or there's something wrong. There's something off. Within that first 5 to 15 minutes, you already feel it. So, or you send messages back and forth on a dating site. When I tried a dating site once, I would never do it again. I tried a dating site once because I did it because it was after a divorce and people told me I should get back out there, blah, blah, blah. And some of these guys, the messages they'll send you, like one guy was like, well, what kind of clothes do you wear? Do you dress nice? Because I have to be with somebody who dresses nice. And I was like, you know what? I'm a really good dresser and I dress really nice. But just the fact that he said that, I don't even want to have anything to do with him. Like, he hasn't even met me yet and he's already dictating criteria to me about who I should be to be with him. Bye bye. I haven't even met you yet. I don't even know if I'll like you. And that comment was enough for me to know I'm not gonna like you, you know? So with a deeper introspection, you might even realize that you do not care that much about their life or their inner world. What you want is their spotlight on you. You want this person to see you, to get to know you, to get interested in your life. You look forward to making this person part of your life. That's a good thing, right? In fact, this person whose company you are craving is you. Give yourself what you fantasize, receiving from your obsession. Obsessions are very tricky. In fact, they indicate that there is something so painful and sad at the bottom of your chest that you have decided to disconnect from it. In fact, if you try to think lucidly through it, what if I give into my obsession? A disastrous chain of events sometimes follow. Your marriage breaking up in an awful way, losing respect for yourself, getting so disorganized that a job offer is revoked, etc. An obsession can help you make the change you are so afraid of, yet it will open that door in a tempestuous way. Your life will be so busy and disorganized that you will eventually forget about your pain. But pain cannot ever be forgotten. It can be repressed, but never deleted from the soul unless you put real work into listening to it. Ideally, what you can do to care about yourself is to give yourself some time to understand the limits of your situation. To do that, you need to resist the temptation of giving the obsession all your time. You can pay attention to the obsession only insofar as it tells you something concrete about what you would like to do. Do you desire to be with the other person? What would make this encounter so special? Do you want this person to know about your interests? Do you want this person to acknowledge the depths of your thoughts and creativity? Then invite all this into your life. Pay attention to your own interests and try to make more time to dedicate yourself to them. Invite sex into your life with your partner or by undertaking fun sexual adventures. Be ambitious. Start doing with your life what you wish you could do with that other person you're obsessing about. And what that means is to invite sex into your life is if you're in a relationship already and you're obsessing about somebody else. You know, there's something missing in your relationship. Try to tell your partner that and see if you can fill that void. And figure out what's missing in your life before you talk to your partner. Because you don't want to say, well, I'm obsessing about this other person. Because, no, you don't want to tell them that. But you want to find out, why am I obsessing about this other person? Well, it's because I'm missing this. Or I'm missing something in the boudoir. In sex, right? To conclude, obsessions are tough. Obsessions, they are little tornadoes that we invite into our life. Because mourning would be too painful. And making a change is too safe. It's too unsafe, excuse me. The source of pain becomes so remote and disconnected that you need to play the emotional investigator in order to reconnect with the source and resolve the pain. So if you start paying attention to what your needs really are and what you expect to find in that person, it might be that the hurting part hidden somewhere in you comes back to trust you again with the thoughts and feelings, you know, that obsession is bringing out. It might be that all you can do is just cry and mourn. So it might be that it is time for you to take action in respect of that pain and move on. In general, the best advice is to take some time for yourself to learn how to cope with obsession and make a decision that involves the real you, not the you that is under siege. And that's from a counselor, PhD counselor wrote that. So that's something that I've been seeing happening quite a bit all around me, and it has happened to me. I've kind of locked people out because of people becoming obsessed. I told a story about a guy who, obsession is kind of like addiction. People get addicted to drugs, addicted to food, it's really, addiction is obsession. That's what addiction is, because you're focusing on something else rather than all the pain in your life. People take drugs because they're going through pain. People drink because they're going through pain or tough times. You know, people are sex addicts because they're going through pain. People eat too much because it's pain. You know, I've done another podcast about the reason people eat too much. I always used to say, if you look at people who are severely overweight, they have probably had severe child abuse or severe child sexual abuse. That's why they gain the weight, so they can be less attractive to everyone around them, and they don't have to deal with sex anymore. Or they can be less alluring or less noticeable so people don't abuse them. Whatever, you know? But it is sort of like an addiction, you know, that you're obsessed about. And the story I'll tell you is about a guy who was a recovered addict. We're talking, you know, cocaine, crack, the whole bit. He had grown up with a very, very abusive father. I mean, when he finally trusted me enough and told me, he would talk about stories that his... And this is a big guy. Like, he was a big guy on the football team, and, you know, but his father was probably equally as big, I would imagine. I never met the guy because I didn't want to. Because after what I heard what he did to his son, I probably would have smacked him right right after I met him. I just don't like people that are this cruel. But he talked about being tied to chairs, burnt with cigarettes, beat up while he's tied up. I mean, this is the kind of stuff, and this was a professor at a college. He was this computer guy at a college. So he's, you know, going every day to this respectable job. I think he was head of the department and all this stuff. And then he's coming home, and I think he had a daughter and two sons, and he's abusing his children violently. I was like, wow. He went on and on. I mean, but he did tell me that he would wake up, and this was years later, after he had left home, been through addiction, was now in recovery, and he still would go spend time with his father, and he would take he had two sons by somebody he didn't marry, but two sons, and he would still take his children around that man. I would never take my children back to someone who did that to me. Ever. And I certainly wouldn't leave them alone. They would drop the kids off. I'm like, how do you know what he's doing to your kids when you're not there? You don't know. You don't leave them alone, you know? So anyway, he talked about that, and he would say that he woke up in the middle of the night having these horrible dreams about what had been done to him. He had this horrible PTSD from the abuse that he went through. He became focused on me and obsessed with me. He would go to every, like, I was going to support groups, and I was going to Bible studies, and I was going to church, and, you know, He was going to everything I went to. He was following me around. And I eventually said to him, "Hey, I think, I didn't ever want to go out with anybody who had been, gone through this kind of recovery, but we had gotten close over, it had been a few years that we'd gotten closer and become good friends." And I said, "I could see that you like me, that instead of you following me everywhere I go and going to everything I do and showing up places that you know I'm going to be, maybe we should try going out. Maybe we should try dating." And then he goes, "Oh, no, that's not what I want." He totally tried to deny it. And I was like, "Then why do you follow me everywhere? Why do you show up when I go out on dates? Why are you everywhere I'm at if you are trying to say you don't care about me?" And he was so obsessed that he just was everywhere I was. Because I think he became dependent on me, and then I think he couldn't admit or didn't feel like he was worth being with me, right? He couldn't admit how much he cared about me, because then if he admitted it and then it didn't work out, would it send him reeling back into addiction? That was my fear. That was my fear. And maybe that was his fear. But he did care a lot about me. And then he ended up getting married to someone who was in his recovery group. And he still followed me around. And we're talking, he would see my car outside of a restaurant and he would come into the restaurant. Like it was almost like he was out looking for me. Or he would see my car outside of a store and he'd come into the store and then he'd be lurking around me. It was like, okay, so I know you're not crazy, but this is kind of nuts. And I left the church. I stopped going to the church I was going to and started going to another church. He found out what church I was going to and he started coming there with him and his wife. Like that's how far it went. So this is what obsession is. And then he didn't admit how much he cared for me or that he wanted to have something with me. And then I started getting a little worried that he's not admitting it. Is it going to get to the point where he might do something? I mean, I didn't think he would, but I was worried. If he's, if he keeps denying it and denying and denying how he feels for me, is this going to end up in my end? Because he's going to need to end me to stop obsessing about me and not have to admit that he actually really cared a lot about me. And even to this day, if he sees me out somewhere, it's like this weird situation. And it's sad because we were really good friends and we could have dated and then, maybe he would have gotten over his obsession. That was part of the reason I said we should date. Is maybe we should see if there's something here. And then if there's not, well, then we haven't lost anything. We're still friends. So that's an example of obsession. I had a I used to go frequent a discount meal place every Wednesday. And these security guards, or actually police officers who patrolled the area, two or three of them got a little obsessive towards me. And they started pulling me over. And one guy gave me a ticket a couple of times for no reason. And then he started following me outside of the jurisdiction in his car. That kind of stuff. It was scary. So I've had that kind of stuff happen. And there's obviously something and he was married, something missing in your marriage that you have to be chasing somebody else around. And if he's doing it to me, trust me, he's doing it to others. So you have to kind of check yourself and think, what's missing in my life that I have to project whatever feelings or need that I have for attention, whatever, onto someone else? I need that from somebody else. No, you need it for yourself. Give yourself the love, give yourself the attention. Start working out, start taking care of yourself. Focus on you, don't focus on others. It's okay to be selfish and focus on yourself if it's going to heal you. I don't know. That's just my thoughts. What do you think? let me know. Send me a message. Maybe we'll do another podcast. Or maybe if somebody would like to do the podcast with me, let me know. Till next time.